This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
5 at 5 brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
What will you remember most about the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant, and what should people mourn?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult question. I think that, I'll remember his playing career. I'll remember the championships. I'll remember all of the things that, all of the work the guy put in on his game. I mean, he was one of these legendary, up at dawn, you know, total full energy, complete commitment. You know, it's one of the reasons that that he and Shaq kind of butted heads when they did. It was, I think he said there were two, his first time a tandem contained two alpha males. So it's hard when people are that driven and that focused. And it's probably why they were so successful and why it didn't last together. I think about stuff like that more than anything else. I think you mourn. You know, there's a brilliant poem by Gerard Manley Hopkins, you know, about, it's called, I think, Spring and Fall to a Young Child. And it's a beautiful poem. It's the end of it, though, is it's about a girl that that sees leaves falling off of trees. And I believe it was in Hyde Park. And she breaks down crying about it. And at the end of the poem, he says he's telling her, he's going through all the difficulties in life, all the things you will see. And in the end of the poem, he says, you know, it is the blight that man was born for. It is Margaret that you mourn for. So in a way, I think we all mourn something with ourselves when you lose someone that you don't even know. But when you lose someone that was that big a figure. So I think that the mourning, you know, obviously the children involved in the lives that never happened and all the people that will be affected by it, but also there's a part of yourself you mourn.
Yeah, I don't think there's any wrong way to grieve. You know, I think you're always reminded about that when stuff like this happens. Kobe Bryant was the symbol of swagger in the NBA, sort of the standard for fearlessness, and he had so much finesse. And he was the guy that, in terms of style, the closest thing to Michael Jordan that probably we have seen since Jordan retired. And he wanted it that way. He mimicked Michael Jordan. He was defined by winning 5 championships, competitor, kind of fueled by that inner drive that set him apart. You know, you can talk about the way he shot and the clutch shots he made and the way he could pass and dribble and defend by so many great ones in the NBA. Everyone can think of their own great player and their own favorite player. But what Kobe Bryant did and how he did it, what distinguished him was the determination nobody could match. He was the ultimate competitor. He didn't only refuse to lose, he refused to consider losing. He was never one of those guys that ever you got the sense that there was weakness there. And that's why, you know, he was sort of the standard for fearlessness. And the legacy is complicated. You know, July 2003 was when the Colorado sexual assault charges were made, and there was they were dropped, and then there was a settlement, and there was a hotel worker, and Kobe Bryant always maintained that it was a consensual and the incident, the settlement suggests that he thought he crossed a line. So, look, it was a terrible mistake, and nobody's ignoring that. It's part of his life. It's part of his legacy. Not the most defining part. And I think today it's human to acknowledge it. It's human to talk about it. It's human to, like, look at that and admit he was far from a perfect guy. Nobody's saying that. there's a time and place probably to consider that. I don't know if today's that time or place, but it's your personal choice where you want to put that. I don't think it makes this any less shocking, any less sudden, or any less sad. So, complicated legacy, but Kobe Bryant, probably one of the top 5 or 10 NBA players ever, and was just beginning to get started on his life after basketball.
Yeah, I think the shock for me was really the thing yesterday that that kind of stuck out. I mean, similar to what you guys had said, I was just, you know, going about my day. And, you know, I see something pop up on Twitter, and then you're never sure if it's legitimate or not because it's Twitter and it's, you know, 2020. So you kind of have to scour. You turn on the TV and you're just kind of very flustered and you're not sure what's going on. And then as the details emerge more and more, you know, the fact that his 13-year-old daughter was on this helicopter along with these other people, it's just it's hard to describe, you know, how shocking and how sad the whole situation is. What I'll probably remember most about Kobe Bryant is the fact that, you know, like you guys alluded to earlier as well, he is one of those guys where he just, you know, he's one name. He is that iconic, not only in a basketball sense, in an American fame sense, but worldwide fame, you know, tributes coming in from European soccer players. A bunch of them. Neymar scored a goal yesterday, Molly, and he held up 24. His legacy is not just restricted to, you know, the United States or North America. He really was a worldwide icon. And the fact that at 41 years old, you know, so young, it's just unbelievably sad. And that's, you know, he's the first player I can remember that I really, you know, the first great player that I remember being drafted, coming along, developing, winning championships. You know, I remember watching him go up there with a Charlotte Hornets jersey, the team he never played for. And the whole thing is just, you know, I'm still totally shell-shocked from it. It's just, it's a huge, huge tragedy for anybody that young to lose their life. But the fact that, you know, all of the other details around it just make it that much more sad. It's just, it's a terrible situation. It's just really crazy.
Well, what I'll remember most is, I mean, there's just so many accomplishments that this guy had in his career, which started at 18 years old. And I just remember as a kid thinking, wow, look at that. This is insane. An 18-year-old in the NBA. This is a kid among these men in the NBA. And just seeing how he was able to hold his own and just see his career blossom from a teenager into the type of icon that he became was just an awesome thing to see over his 20-year career. You know, 5-time NBA champion. I'll just never forget that. I always loved that Shaq and Kobe tandem. I hated when I hated the breakup when they split up and all that. But then to see him just a handful of years later emerge again as a champion in 2009 and 2010 was just awesome to see what he did on the court. I just remember thinking when I was a kid, you know, I grew up watching Michael Jordan and just thinking like, wow, this guy is the next coming. This guy is just amazing. And so, yeah, it's hard to put into words, but I think listening to how he impacted other athletes yesterday, other people react. I think one of the biggest, legacies he'll have is the Mamba mentality, just the work ethic. Everyone, when talking about Kobe Bryant, talked about that work ethic and just how hard he worked. Even after having a monster scoring nights, he'd be up in the gym the next day at 5 a.m. So it's just that work ethic is something that is an inspiration, it seems, to many athletes, and I think that's going to be one of his biggest legacies.
We were all lucky enough to see the entire career, NBA career of his. It was unbelievable. You know, what he did with Shaq was crazy. And then as Ray, you know, to do it again with another group of guys, that was unbelievable. And he wanted to emulate Michael Jordan so much. and the relationship he had with Jordan. You saw the statement from Jordan. I knew that they were pals. I didn't realize they were that close. I didn't realize that the connection was that strong, because in the beginning, you know, he dressed like him. He carried himself like him.
Talked like him.
Yeah, Molly, I think you and I have talked about it a bunch of times. Like, literally, like, you could walk, if you shut your eyes and didn't look at the screen, you might have thought it was Jordan talking. And if you watched his mouth actually move, okay, things that normal people probably don't do, but we do, like, he his lips and his mouth and his teeth when he talked moved like Jordan. And I saw this really cool video. We talk about the mama mentality and the just doing the same thing over and over and over, repetition, right? And we goof around on this show about, you know, I coach girls basketball, but you try to teach them free throws, right? And body muscle memory, and when you make a free throw, okay, what did you do? And how, and they show a video, like, every single time he shoots a free throw, he does exactly the same. And he doesn't. He can make free throws with his eyes shut, right? He did the same thing every time. He just, on the court, I think he set an unbelievable bar, very high. And it's also, to Kevin's point, the soccer player with the tribute. You don't, until somebody goes, you don't realize how big an impact they have. Just, I mean, I knew
how about
here,
the Grammys? I mean, the Grammys were right, dominated the Grammys by the loss of Kobe.
Very interesting last night how they handled that last night. And I applaud them for how they handled that last night. And I didn't even think about it because so much was racing through my mind, but they were in the house last night that Kobe built.
The jerseys were hanging from the rafters.
Right? Yeah. It just chilling, absolutely chilling. And hearing the news, I thought it was fake at first. I told my daughter it's not funny and you got to be careful when you see this stuff on social media. And then just to see how it played out the rest of the day was just awful.
Next question.
In light of how Kobe Bryant impacted the NBA world and the news broke early in the day, do you think Commissioner Adam Silver should have canceled or postponed every game on Sunday's schedule? Wouldn't that have been the ultimate tribute and the most appropriate?
Well, I just said you can't tell anybody how to grieve, so I want to be careful here and not be a hypocrite. And I think Adam Silver strikes a lot of the right notes all the time. He's not tone deaf. I don't think he's ever been accused of that. That said, I was surprised they played, and I probably would have understood it. If they would have canceled the games, I don't think they would have regretted it. I don't think they would have regretted postponing them. Half the league, more than half the league, was in action yesterday. 16 teams had games. You heard it in Mike Breen, the respected broadcaster's voice, when he says he doesn't feel like broadcasting today. Tyronn Lue was on the bench for the Clippers, and he, you know, was fighting back tears. Doc Rivers sounded distraught before the game, and you saw the tributes during the game, the 24-second shot clock running out in the 8-second violation, and these things. Kyrie Irving couldn't even play. He sat out for personal reasons. It would have been totally understood and probably recommended if the league just would have taken a day and said, you know what, this is too much to digest too soon, and we're not going to play today out of tribute. This is the ultimate way to pay homage to Kobe Bryant. Even though that Kobe Bryant probably would have said, go ahead and play, act like everything is normal, and get to work, I just don't know if yesterday was the day to work.
Yeah, I think it was. I think they did the right thing by playing the games, and I liked the tributes that people were giving. You know, the 24-second violations for the number 24, the backcourt violations for the number 8. You know, I thought that was a really neat thing. And I, you know, basketball players, athletes, professional players, that's what they turn to. That's what comforts them when they have things happen in their lives. I know that Kobe would have wanted them to play. And it doesn't bother me at all. I think they did the right thing. You know, this is not a national tragedy. It is a very famous and unique talent died. And it's bad. But you don't stop playing games. You can't. The league doesn't stop for anything like that. And you know, barring some sort of national emergency or horrible tragedy, I think you have to continue to play the games. And I think it's, again, what the guy would have wanted, and it's the right thing to do.
I think that's, you know, gauging from some of the reactions from the players yesterday that you saw. You guys brought up Kyrie Irving being so distraught, he left the arena, wasn't able to play. I mean, Tyson Chandler in tears on the Rockets bench during that game. It just seemed like these games yesterday were so inconsequential and the results of them and just so unimportant in the grand scheme of things as on a day like yesterday. And the season is so long and there's so many off days built in that you could have easily postponed these games and made them up down the line if you needed to. So I don't think that they handled it that well. I mean, between these games and the Pro Bowl and everything that else, the Grammys, whatever that was going on last night, everything felt like it had this horrendous cloud just covering everything. So I think in regards to the NBA games, you know, league that Kobe Bryant dominated for so long and is so iconic in, I think it would have been the right idea to postpone these games yesterday.
I think, you know, there's no way we would know what Kobe would have wanted, but I would imagine that he would want the game to go on and the game to continue. And I understand it was a very emotional day for everyone involved because of the impact that Kobe had. But, you know, I did like the tributes. For instance, like Trae Young wore Kobe's number 8, and then he did like an 8-second violation in honor of Kobe.
And he scored 45 points.
He went on to score 45 points. And several times it was reported that he, you know, was pointing up towards the sky. So, I mean, you had, you know, although emotional for many and for everybody involved, you had the chance for someone like Trae Young with the ability that he has to pay tribute on the court and honor Kobe in that way. And if you don't play the game on that day, I mean, a tribute like that doesn't happen. I just think it was appropriate to continue the game and let the games go on, although it was hard for everybody.
Ray, just to follow up on that real quick, did you see Trae Young at 45 points on 24 shots, and he shot 81% from the line? 81.
There it is. Amazing.
It is wild. Here's the thing. I don't think anybody would have criticized or thought the NBA did anything wrong had they had canceled the day's slate. You're just leaving yourself open to criticism by playing the games. And sure, there were some neat, if that's the right word, appropriate, touching tributes during those games. Those could happen today or tomorrow when the teams play. If I had to guess, I bet Kobe would have wanted the games to go on. I just think you're open. Adam Silver has done a pretty darn good job being the commissioner of the NBA. And now this will be something that people will second guess him moving forward.
How many people would have turned up to these games without knowing what had happened or without knowing the game had been canceled?
A handful, for sure. But I think it's your job then as an organization to get the word out. And I think it would also have been, if it had been decided, everybody from the 4-letter network to the 3-letter networks would have had on their scrolls that all of tonight's action was being postponed due to what had happened.
Next question.
How different might the Bulls' future have been in 2007 if Kobe hadn't exercised the no-trade clause in his contract to nix a deal to Chicago because Luol Deng was in the trade and Kobe wanted assurance that Deng would stay?
Boy, I mean, that would have been unbelievable. I mean, my God. I don't know how serious it ever was or if it ever could have happened, but yeah. I mean, the very fact that Lu Deng was the centerpiece of whether or not you get Kobe is just confounding. I mean,
what was the video you were referencing about Kobe visiting?
It was in a restaurant or like a coffee shop or something, and some guy asked him, "Hey, you know, where are you going to go?" Or something, and he said he was going to join the Bulls. He said he was, you know, are you coming back or something? No, I'm going to go to the Bulls. So, like, he actually said it. I mean, how close it came, the guy said it. That would have been awesome. It would have been fantastic. You know, Kobe was one of these guys. He watched all these videos of different players. When he was in Italy, he said as a kid, he had no way of seeing any of this stuff. So he watched all the highlights of all these tapes. And then when he got back to Philadelphia for high school, he was completely enamored with Jordan to the point where he broke down tape of Jordan and he practiced every move he could see. And as we said, he spoke like him. He tried to take the tone of voice and the method in which Michael spoke. He just copied him completely and utterly. And it, you know, one of the reasons that he was enamored with the idea of coming to Chicago, certainly not the talent level that was here, but they'd have won a title with Kobe.
That was the allure, though, the Jordan, the fact to play where Jordan did.
That Mike built.
Because those were the Drew Gooden Bulls. Those were the, you know, the Nocioni was still here, 2007.
They were tough, though, and they had some good players.
They had some good young players.
Yeah, it would have been unbelievable.
And the reporting since it kind of proves that was a real possibility. Kobe at the time had demanded a trade from the Lakers.
He was really mad at Mitch Kupchak, I believe.
He was upset, and he had said he wanted to kind of power his way out of L.A., and the Bulls were one of the teams he wanted to go to. Detroit was the other one that was rumored. But the deal centered around Luol Deng, Ben Gordon, Joakim Noah. And I think that Tyrus Thomas was still involved there.
Oh.
And at the time, apparently, you said he had studied the league so well. He liked Luol Deng to the point where he didn't want to play without him. He wanted to play with him. So he rejected the trade proposal because Deng was part of it. And, you know, would that have happened? Okay, so let's go back. That's 2007. If that happens, you don't get Derrick Rose playing for the Bulls because the Bulls probably aren't going to be in the lottery that year, or so many other things would have had to fall in that way. So it would have been the Kobe Bryant post-LA era in Chicago rather than the Derrick Rose era. And, yeah, it is definitely fun to consider. And there's a lot of things along the way after that happened when he would come to Chicago in his last couple of visits. I mean, I think he recounted that to some degree, what might have been, what could have been, but what wasn't.
It is, it's fun and it's interesting to think about, you know, trades, huge trades that were rumored, big free agent signings that were rumored, things that almost happened, didn't happen, and you kind of try to rewrite history or imagine what would have happened. It's easy to say, you know, the Bulls would have won a championship with Kobe Bryant here if the trade was made, but there were still, you know, the Tim Duncan Spurs out there. There were, you know, the great Boston Celtics teams of that era. It wasn't just, you know, a one-horse league or anything like that. Had he come here and played for the Bulls, it would have been, you know, so massive to have a star and a player of that caliber here for the first time since Jordan retired. And a guy, like you said, you know, who kind of emulated, followed in the footstep, tried to be Michael Jordan, looked up to him so much. Everybody that ever picked up a basketball has looked up to Michael Jordan. But Kobe took it to a different level, and to see him in a Bulls uniform, it would have been absolutely crazy. And it is interesting to think about, for sure, to see how far he could have taken that team had the trade actually gone down.
Yeah, that would be insane. I mean, if Kobe Bryant went to the Bulls in 2007, I mean, that's a franchise-changing acquisition. I mean, it's just the trajectory of the franchise completely changes. You get a few championships, at least a couple of championships. I mean, come on. With that, it's prime Kobe Bryant still, 2007. Hell yeah. And it's a totally different team. People and fans feel differently in relation to you know, how far away you are from a championship. It's been a while since the Bulls have won a championship, and you see how disgruntled fans are right now with the direction of the organization, and fairly so. But I mean, if you are that far less removed from championships, I'm sure at this point in time you're feeling a lot better about the team, and the team is probably looking way different. But I mean, there's a lot of what ifs here.
It would have been wildly entertaining and wildly interesting. You know, just, you know, you do a quick, trying to remember, quick Google search, and I just said to Kevin, Jim Boylan was the head coach of the Bulls?
The other one, with the A.
The other Jim Boylan, right? You know, would Scott Skiles, I mean, could Scott Skiles have won with Kobe Bryant? Like, how would that relationship have worked out, right? I mean, was that kind of a, would that have been a Kobe type of guy? And it, this might sound blasphemous, but it just can't, like, would you wanted, like, how different, if Kobe had won a couple of titles here, like, would Jordan be held in the same esteem?
Yes.
You know, it's just weird. It would have been something unbelievable to see in this town because of what Jordan and the Bulls had done if Kobe had come in after that. It would have been, and for you guys at the time, you guys would have been covering it even more than you would be covering it anyway. It would have been a wild ride. Absolutely wild.
Would have put a totally different spin on the free agency of 2010 summer. Right. Imagine LeBron, Wade, and Kobe.
Not one, not two.
Next question.
And perhaps the most significant injury news of the season, the Bulls announced Friday that Lauri Markkanen would miss 4 to 6 weeks due to a stress reaction in his right pelvis. How does this affect your opinion of Markkanen's struggles this year and what's realistic to expect from him moving forward?
Well, that was the big news of the weekend from a basketball perspective with the Bulls, because you saw that break on Friday and you kind of, from my standpoint, felt a little bit like, oh, okay, now I kind of get it. It was hard to understand why Lauri Markkanen wasn't looking like Lauri Markkanen. Now, I'm not saying this excuses all of his all of his struggles this year, but he has looked limited, and he has looked tentative, and he has looked injured, maybe. If you look at the way that he's moved around the court, he hasn't had the same sort of aggressive, he's not aggressively attacking the basket. And it makes you feel bad for him, because this could be, 4 to 6 weeks. This could be a season ender, depending on where they are. This is not a team that is going to be that good without him. They lost to the Kings on Friday night and came back to beat the Cavaliers. Yeah, those Cavaliers on Saturday without him. And I think that when you look at what he's going to come back to, maybe he just sits out the rest of the year. The most telling statistic, and we'll talk to Casey Johnson later today about a lot of things, but Casey had an item on NBC Sports Chicago over the weekend. I think since the rebuild started, that Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen have played together about half the time, maybe 100 games. And it's not even been, it's right around 50%. Difficult to judge a rebuild when that's the reality, because you always want these guys on the court at the same time. I don't know that you can judge that, but I do think that this explains a lot. You hope that he recovers, and you hope that he's the same player that he was maybe in his first two seasons in the NBA.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing to say, but is it wrong to feel relief that a guy is injured? Oh, okay. So he was hurt. It's not his game. It's his hip. I said this to you this morning. Like, what the hell is a stress reaction? And in his right pelvis, what is a stress reaction as opposed to a stress fracture? And I guess the stress reaction is the precursor to a stress fracture. That you see something that indicates that something's about to go wrong. So you shut him down. They're shutting him down 4 to 6 weeks. See you next year.
Yeah.
Nice to have you, but we'll see you next year. I can't imagine a stress reaction or some sort of injury that's about to occur, a pain that's leading to something, is going to be a thing that they bring him back from. Because it sounds like, again, if they are anticipating something worse happening, well then, shut him down.
It's kind of like you go into the mechanic and it's November, and he says, you might want to get those brakes fixed for the winter.
Yeah, and what do? You get the brakes fixed.
Yes, you get the brakes fixed.
Unless you're careful.
Or else.
And then you roll the bones.
No, I have great brakes in my car. Lauri Markkanen, first of all, always, because I'm stopping a lot. A stress reaction in the right pelvis sounds incredibly painful. And it does not sound like something he's going to come back from very quickly, as you guys were just saying.
Sounds like something your granny has.
It does, which is shocking for a 23-year-old or however old he is. And maybe it doesn't excuse his poor play this year, but maybe it explains some of it. But when you get down to it, he only played 68 games as a rookie. He played 52 last year. He played 46 so far this year. I think it is fair to say he is an injury-prone player, and if you're not available, you're not going to be able to get better, and I think that's been a large part of his stunted development as well. And it stinks to say, because he's a player who has shown potential, he's clearly talented, but it's just, it hasn't worked here. Now for the third year straight, he's going to miss a huge chunk of the year. You can't get better if you're not on the floor playing.
Yeah, agreed. Playing time is a big part of improvement, so this, unfortunately, is just another. There's more time that he'll miss. But I think it's not an excuse, but it could explain. I mean, we've been talking all season long about the lack of aggressiveness that Lauri Markkanen has displayed. And this might be the reason. I mean, how can you be aggressive if you are not 100%, I suppose. So I guess this is reasoning behind it. What's reasonable to expect? I mean, just hope for a better 2020-2021 season for Lauri Markkanen. Let's look ahead to next year, and hopefully he just recovers and comes back healthy. But, you know, another year of stunted development.
I don't want to see any of the Bulls hurt or injured or not playing and not available. I just, what do you guys think a 100% Markkanen would be? I mean, would they have 5 more wins? 2 more wins? No more wins?
Like, between 3 and 5.
You know, how valuable would a 100% be? Because that's what you have to, that's what the Bulls have to decide. Now, what this does give the Bulls, gives them an opportunity to see, how does Boylan coach this team without one of these guys? How does Zach react without supposedly his next person? Who steps up in the absence? Who's going to get some minutes? Who's going to get some valuable playing time? Unfortunately, their younger guys really don't play the position that Markkanen plays, but I don't exactly know what the 7'1" shooting guard is, apparently. So I hate that the guy's hurt, but did they try him out and see if he could play through an ouchie that became an injury? So does that end up being on the Bulls? And Molly, you're like, that's it. Like, for him, the season should be over, even after the 4 to 6 weeks. Just like move along and shuffle up the Magic 8-Ball and see what spits out next year for him. But yeah, I mean, whatever.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question.
The Kansas City Chiefs are in the Super Bowl for the first time in 49 years, while the San Francisco 49ers are in it for the first time since 2013. Which team has more staying power and why? Who will be back again first, the Chiefs or the Niners?
Yeah, that is a lot of fun. The Super Bowl, by the way, coming up. So that is a lot of fun. We're going to get a lot of hype this week. It's going to be a lot of fun to follow that. And I think the obvious answer here, and the one I expect, is everyone's going to say the Chiefs, because everyone's going to talk about Patrick Mahomes and how great he is and how much better than everyone else he is. But when you really stop and look at it, if you think about it, this is almost the coming out party for the Niners. They have built this team up. They had the good fortune, if you can call it that, of Jimmy Garoppolo's injury, which means the team they had built and they thought they were going to win with was stopped for a year. And they could go out and get guys like Bosa as a reward, right? You get a Nick Bosa at the top of the draft. You get a Deebo Samuel in the second round because you're at the top of the second round. So in a weird way, that might be something that helps them be better over the long haul. I don't know how good Jimmy Garoppolo is. I don't know how improved he can be. I know that the head coach is a guy that doesn't get bored, that doesn't, if the run's working, he runs the ball. He doesn't lean on the passing game. And the very fact that they could win the way they did over Green Bay with the quarterback not having a huge influence on the game tells me they're a winning team that's here to stay. Now, you know, you could argue that they were inches, literally inches away from being a lower seed and having the and losing at the end of the year to Seattle. But let me ask you, if New England had won in Miami, then all of a sudden Kansas City is playing on the road, like maybe later in the playoffs. They don't get the week off. That obviously is a great contribution to everyone. So I think that as much as you want to say it's Kansas City, I'm going to go with San Francisco.
Those are good points. I love watching the 49ers play, and I really respect their formula, and that's kind of the appeals to my football sensibilities. But for Bosa to get back to the Super Bowl, he's going to need a lot of help. He's going to need everything to go right the way it did this year for the 49ers. They were, you know, this was the year to be that team. This was the year to take that approach. Whereas the Chiefs, every year that Patrick Mahomes reports to training camp, they're going to start the first practice thinking they can end it at the Super Bowl. That's just a fact of life in the NFL. When you have a generational talent, that term that's overused but appropriate here, you have an opportunity to get back to multiple Super Bowls. And this is Patrick Mahomes' first, but I'd be shocked if it's his last. He gives you an opportunity to win and to compete and to be there every single year. as long as that's the case, it doesn't matter really who his head coach is. Surround him with some talent, protect him. You can have an average defense. Even you have a quarterback that good, you're going back.
Yeah, their defense stunk last year, and they didn't make the Super Bowl because of a coin toss, because they didn't get the ball against the Patriots in the AFC title game. He's been the starter for 2 years. He was knocking on the door of a Super Bowl. Now he's in the Super Bowl. He's the best player far and above anybody else, really, in the league, certainly on the offensive side of the ball.
Lamar Jackson.
I would take Patrick Mahomes over Lamar Jackson any day of the week.
Just saying, there's another team out there.
How's he? He's 0-2 in the playoffs. Mahomes has already been there this year. Like I said, could have been there last year if it would have been tails. Give me Mahomes. Give me the Chiefs to be back, you know, almost every year. They're always going to be in the conversation if you've got that guy.
I agree. As predicted, 49ers, and the reason for both of these answers, and the reason is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's the type of elite level quarterback that he is, and we're just scratching the surface of what we're seeing here. I think we're going to see, you know, years to come of championships with this guy.
Patrick Mahomes is the guy. I'm glad he's playing on the Super Bowl. Glad he's playing on the biggest stage the NFL has to offer. It's going to be the biggest day in sports this Sunday, and I do believe that the Chiefs can get back before the Niners for sure.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.